Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Oz. No ear tickling here, just what we need to prepare for the battle.
Said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Preparing for Battle with Roz. I'm your host with Dorothy. Glad everybody could join us tonight. Tonight, our guest is Larry Taylor. Larry's been on our show for a long time. Now and every now and again, it's always great to speak with him and see what's been going on. Dorothy, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I am so looking forward to talking to Larry. I mean, he is so good at putting together those teeny tiny dots, you know?
Yeah, I know. I've definitely learned from Larry. I've read a lot of books that he has suggested to read. I definitely enjoy our conversations. Larry's been coming on the show now for a couple of years now, and it's always a pleasure to have him and all our guests that we have. So at any rate, is he? Does it look like we're ready? Or
we're ready. We're waiting for Larry.
Okay. Well, just let me know. Just want to thank everybody again for listening to the show. I know it's been kind of, off and on. I'm trying to get back on air and get things rolling here. I've been busy, had some life changes, and I'll be doing a show here pretty soon on what's been going on in my life. And, you know, and hopefully that day when we do that, God willing, we'll be taking calls and some other folks and hearing what's been going on with them and just pray and just kind of share, what's been going on in each other's lives, because I think it's really important about, what's been going on, too. That way you feel that you're not alone out there and that there are other people going through the same thing, all struggling. And, the Lord says, two or more gathered together, he's in our midst, and with all of us singing and praying, you need to get out that's been going on in your life, and you need to talk about, that'll be a stress for you.
All right, you're breaking up on my phone. I don't know if you're breaking up on the chat room. Could you give me a sound? Chat guys,
yeah.
And someone just called in.
Can you hear me? Can you
Sorry?
Hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, she's breaking up. Yeah, you're breaking up.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you, Dorothy.
I'm going to bring whom I'm going to assume is Larry on.
Yeah.
Okay, I clicked on the microphone. It didn't do anything. I'll click again. There we go. Larry?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Oh,
hey,
hi.
Larry. How's it going?
Oh, hanging in. Pretty hot here, but, it's 8 Central time, so I figured it's time to go.
Well, it's really hot here, too. I think it was 105 today.
Oh, my Lord. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. We'll kind of talk about, different things and whatever you want to discuss. I've kind of been laid back for a little bit, but we can come up with something to talk about.
Oh, always. I think you know, you've been on the show enough to know that we always come up with something.
Yeah, if nothing else, we can talk about me. How's that?
Yeah, let's talk about you, Larry. What's been going on?
I've been, I guess, relatively quiet. It seems like what you would call, you know, I don't really have what people call a ministry like church thinks or religion thinks at all. I mean, you know, I'm kind of like a stone thrown out in the water, but I do make waves. But, circumstances have made it where I've been kind of quiet for a little while, not really all that much on my decision to be that way, but it seemed like a lot of things around me are changing, and events are changing things, and you know, it's just like really hadn't had much of a platform lately.
Well, there's a lot going on. You know, the weather, sun, solar flares, you know, what's going on over there in Damascus right now, and wow, it's just like, it's almost,
yeah,
like,
yeah, one of the things, you know, that I guess we ought to bring up and talk about for a minute is the sun, because, and that's the S-U-N that we're talking about. There's a lot of influence going on the planet that a lot of people are not really noticing a lot. But one of the things is the atmospheric heating. You know, we're not being told, you know, We're having record temperatures, and as a matter of fact, today I did a post on one that Holly had set up about our record, and it really is record-breaking, incredible drought and hot weather that we've been having, and they're talking about it's not going to stop. You know, we're looking at maybe weeks more of the same thing, and maybe late into August. But one thing, the planet, you know, Stan Dale was right. Matter of fact, if you ever saw the movie 2012, tell me if my phone gets too loud, because sometimes it's really audible. But the movie 2012, right at the beginning there, it's got a little scientific stuff that everybody, I assume, thinks is science fiction. And just for the movies, the activity on the sun is heating up the interior of the planet, and the planet is not only swelling, but it's also about to swell enough to move the actual plates themselves that the continent's set on. And that's really true. I mean, what we're looking at there, that's not just made-up stuff for a movie.
Right.
And Stan Dale goes deep into that on how that it's all structured. And we've been having these incredible storms from the sun lately that, you know, it's kind of odd. A lot of people that really don't follow space weather or some of the activities of the sun, you know, they hear we've had a CME, and then somebody might blog or put down that, well, you know, the CME will influence us, or it'll have impact in like 48, 36 hours, blah, 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 blah. You know, like it takes a while. It really doesn't take any time. And as a matter of fact, even, and I've watched it considerably for years, when we even have a solar flare or a CME thrown off of the other side of the sun, which we really, you know, I guess in Tinker Toy talk, we don't think it affects us at all. It went the other way, but that's wrong. Immediately, our atmosphere is pounded with radiation, you know, ultraviolet rays, X-rays. I mean, all this stuff, you know, hits us within maybe an hour, maybe not even that much time. It's so big and so fast. But then again, we have to wait, you know, 24 hours or even more sometimes, because the CME cloud, as they call it, itself goes slower. And the impact is later, but a lot of the impact, you know, our satellites have been really taking a hit. I'm surprised we actually haven't lost some with the couple of X's that we've had lately. That X1.4 the other day, it really, really caused some upheaval for like 36 hours straight in the atmosphere. But what this does, and what a lot of people don't realize, is a lot of all of this coming against our magnetic field or our magnetosphere and the atmosphere itself, it heats the atmosphere. Now, I started out talking about the, you know, the interior of the planet being affected and swelling and, you know, such as that. Not only are we receiving an incredible amount of heat, you know, under the surface of the planet. In other words, you can't even really count. I don't know anybody that can count them. All the volcanoes that are operating right now under the oceans, you know, the Atlantic, the Pacific, and then you talk about all the seas, and that goes down to the Antarctic and up to the Arctic. You know, all of this is ongoing under the oceans. At the same time, our atmosphere itself is being big-time radiated, and that's not talking about Fukushima. That's another story. But big-time radiation, you know, off the sun, we're getting a lot of that, and all of this is heating the atmosphere itself. As a matter of fact, I live in the middle of nowhere. You know, I write it down when I write a blog like the Oklahoma Mountain Gateway, which it is. Mm-hmm. However, the closest store to me says that they're convenience in the middle of nowhere, and the convenience is if they've got it, you can buy it. If they don't have it, don't worry about it. And that's kind of how we live in this part of the country. But there's no light pollution. You know, you can look up all the time as far as you can see. And you can continually, day after day, I've watched the atmosphere heat up. I've watched all these cloud layers try to build into storms, and sometimes they break down, sometimes they go ahead and build, and we've had a lot of really heavy storming, but I know, you know, other people have too. But this is going to continue, I think. This is not much fun. This is more or less like a science fiction movie, and we find ourselves really living in the middle of this movie, and while we're living into this movie and wishing it would be just make-believe, we're actually crying. Now, this is why humankind is, I guess, so frail sometimes. We keep trying to do all the little things we've always done before. In other words, you know, we're concentrating all our efforts pretty much, you know, and I'm not negating the spiritual, but I'm talking natural right now. You know, here all of us around the whole planet, especially in America, you know, we're still trying to have our holidays like we've always had them. We're still trying to have the family reunions. We're still trying to have our jobs just like we've always done. We still try to come home, go to bed, get up, go back the next day. We still working on our, and this is the funniest part in a way. It's not, there's no humor in it, but it's funny because it's happening. We're worried and continually trying to set up for our older age and our retirement. If you begin to pull back the veil a little bit and look, there's not going to be one.
No.
And you know, I don't mean to kind of snicker when I say that. You snicker or you cry, and I'm cried out, you know. I'm kind of like Augusto. He's been, you know, I've been talking back and forth with Augusto recently after a few of his trips. And the guy, you know, you've talked to Augusto, Roz.
Oh, yeah, plenty of times.
You know, and I don't know if you talked to him here really recent, but he has really become very somber. You know, and Augusto's pretty well a kind of a religious freewheeler, and I don't mean nothing by that, but, you know, he rock and rolls in the spirit realm. But
right. Lately,
things have got so serious that I even note concern and a serious side of Augusto that you know, before really wasn't. You know, he may have hid it from me, but now it's hard for him to hide it. Things are so serious, and the weight on his shoulders is so heavy, you know, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And to me, that's really a sign of kind of where we are. It's very, very serious. And the strangest thing is to get over to people that, you know, there's, you know, matter of fact, I listened to a guy today named David Lankford that was on Rick Wild's show. And he was talking about how the Lord had all of a sudden took him out of his church, or was in the process of taking him out, removing him from his church that he had served for years, and sending him into the countryside, you know. And this is happening to a lot of people. A lot of people are making moves, whether it's spiritual or natural or whatever they are. But one of the things that is very difficult to get out to people is the fact that they are going to have to hear, you know, if they believe in him, they're going to have to hear God for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, there's just simply not a whole lot of prophets out there that are sitting around kind of like Santa Claus, for somebody to come up and sit in their lap and then explain to them where they need to go and what they need to be doing in this late hour. That's not how it works. That's not how it's going to work.
Yeah, but people don't want to get out of their comfort zone, Larry. They don't want to hear the meat, and that's the problem. And you know what? At that point, you wonder if if they can adjust or even want to hear it, because as soon as they do, they want to walk away, they cringe, they want to still do their holidays. They don't want to get out of that zone. They want to stay in there because they're comfortable there, and it's a glass, you know, they're in their glass house and nothing can hurt them there, and they want that. That's their safety, where their safety should be underneath that rock.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one of the most frustrating things that, you know, this last year, I guess I've, it's kind of odd. Let me explain this, because I know there's a lot of people who don't really know me. I mean, you don't even know me. We've been on shows together since, you know, back when you was in California and talked. And I know Dorothy's followed me for a while and different people have, but tonight I might. How long we have? An hour? 2 hours?
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay. Anyway, I might explain a little bit about me and what I've done over the years, because you know there's some people. Let me tell you this most recent one that was really odd. I've been for quite some time. You know, I've got a blog going. I've had a Yahoo group. I can't even think of how many years that's been going on. You know, that was like riding a dead horse almost sometimes, but I've been doing that a long, long time, and I pretty much had to finally give up the, you know, as you were saying, people don't want to be bothered in their comfort zone, and a lot of times when I'd post certain things, well, I'd get emails from people that they didn't like that, the way that was said, or they didn't like the terminology used, or, you know, just little different picky things to tell somebody you don't like what they're saying, you know, so they'll get off the subject and go to something you want to hear about, you know. And recently I got one. I had posted something that a rabbi had worked on, and you know who a rabbi is, right? I mean, that's not a secret
too much.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a Jewish rabbi, I assumed everybody kind of knew about those guys, you know. I've heard that a lot of them have really found Jesus, but then there's a whole bunch that hadn't, okay? And the Lord, you know, the Lord kind of has used me like, I guess you would, a fishing lure of some kind. You know, he's thrown me in the waters, and I really bump into a lot of strange people out there and different ones, and they think I'm strange too. But I seem to be able to get along with a lot of them. And so I talk to different people and share with different people, whether it's email or on the phone or writing letters or whatever, because I've done this for years. And, you know, I posted something about an article from a rabbi, and I had somebody that, you know, wrote me almost every single day by email, and all of a sudden I got an email from the individual that said, well, why not they use this verse? And they quoted something. They didn't give where it was, but they quoted it, and I knew they had quoted it out of the New Testament. And I thought, duh, you know, Jewish rabbi, New Testament? I mean, come on now. So I just emailed them back, and I said, you know, I've almost had to stop replying to people, because it just, you begin to build a battle. And I know this is preparing for battle, but that's not what I'm doing, okay?
Right.
I'm telling you about how to stay out of some battles. But anyway, I emailed them back, and I said, well, where in the whole Bible is that scripture you just semi-quoted, where is it found? Well, of course, they said, I got a ripping email from somebody that said, do you have so little biblical knowledge that you don't even know where that scripture is or how to even look it up? What kind of guy, all you do is read books? I mean, and so what I was basically trying to share with that individual when they wrote me back that it was in the New Testament, in other words, Timothy, I was going to say, well, the guy that wrote the article, you can't expect him to quote that too much because he don't believe that is legitimate. You know, which is really how it is. You know, a lot of Jewish rabbis don't believe it is. You know, you don't see them reading the New Testament much, do you?
No.
Where you guys at? Okay. Anyway.
No, I'm listening.
You know, if you look around a lot, they don't. So, anyway, you know, I guess the individual got mad at me and thought I just didn't know any scriptures at all. Why in the world would, you know, write and want to know where it was at? Well, I was trying to point him out to him where it was to show him that you know, everybody's not on the same level. Matter of fact, some people's not on any level. But the only thing we're told to do, and we're not told to go out, you know, I don't try to go out here anymore. I did, you know, I've had my preaching days, okay? I started out preaching. I started out in the church world, in religion, okay, I'll put it that way. Matter of fact, I was in a Baptist church and really didn't have to believe too much, just, you know, pay your tithes, that's the main thing. But anyway, we've kind of bumped into that place to where, you know, all of these people are in different places, and that's why I put out kind of a diverse blog. You know, my thing on it, you know that. Of course, you know, the people that read my blog come from all areas of everywhere. But what I do a lot of time is I embed spiritual things in there, and I don't beat people on the head with it, okay? You know, I don't use scriptures, just bang somebody in the head, and you know, you never hear, I'm not never telling anybody they're going to hell. You don't hear that out of me. You know,
no.
You might hear me refer to that location and tell people nobody wants to go there, and I might
right.
try to give a little bit of a solution on how not to, but I've kind of quit banging things around, you know, and really tried to let pretty much God work it out. In Isaiah, you know, Isaiah 3, I think it is, I'll look it up, but I don't have it right in front of me this second, but he talks about where that he came to his people and he poured out such a sleep on them that they're literally not going to know anything till way down the road. And see, really, his people right now is waiting on the Messiah. I know a lot of those people. And this is what's interesting. I find this really interesting, it's like Rabbi, you know, I deal with things a lot of people wouldn't touch. They'd figure something rub off on them. But I found out years ago that's not always the case. But I deal with Torah codes. I deal, you know, the other than remote viewing, in other words, not remote viewing, but God has the original, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really out-of-the-body experiences like some of the New Age people have either. You know, it's
right.
God's kind. It's the original. The rest of it's counterfeits, copies.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do similar things. But one of the things that intrigues me, and I've looked and researched and studied for years, is the Torah codes. And, you know, you're familiar with that because, you know, we do it, talk about it a lot. But one of the guys that's involved in a lot of the Torah code research, other than Eli Ripps out of Israel, is Rabbi Glazerson.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Herrlich, and so I'm naming some of the rabbis that are doing this. It seems like rabbis do this. Barry Rothman does it. And Barry Rothman, believe it or not, matter of fact, ironically, some of the other guys they're a little hesitant on Barry Rothman because Barry Rothman reminds me a little bit of me, even though he's older than I am, because he kind of stretches the limit a little bit. And, you know, he goes to the edge, so to speak, like I do. But he has really come up with some incredible code work lately that, you know, it's just amazing. I won't go into it tonight that much, but, you know, it's just really incredible about, you know, what may be behind and what's involving a lot of the super colliders, the CERN and all the other ones, you know, including HARP and all of this other stuff, you know. But ironically, the rabbis, I'm so intrigued because I get their books, some of them. You know, of course, some of their books are in Hebrew, and that's one thing that I've never been able to learn was Hebrew. You know, I know a little of it, but I don't know enough of it. But anyway, like one of them, Glazerson wrote a book called Hebrew, Source of Languages. And most of it's in English. And he's got some other books involving light and different things. And this is what intrigues me. You know, I'm real good on and always, you know, when I came into the church years ago, you know, I had meetings. Man, I've spent my whole life having meetings until there just wasn't anybody coming anymore. The Lord had me narrow down the messages so narrow that nobody, you don't want to come hear somebody talk about something that's not comfortable, just like you said earlier. It affected their comfort zone, and they just stopped coming.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, I went crazy one time, I guess, and actually had two prayer benches built by a preacher in Idabel, Oklahoma, and I took them in to my meetings for people to come up and that felt a need for really heavy personal prayer, either them praying or somebody praying for them. And I set them up front and put cushions out. And, you know, if anybody wanted to come up and spend some time, even while I'm ministering, praying or just there before the Lord or whatever. And do you know that, you know where they wound up, Roz, Dorothy? They wound up on my back porch holding up my wife's pot plants. They were totally rejected. Nobody had a need to come up front. I guess everybody that came into my meetings were perfect. And I was the only backslidden person there, apparently. But that's kind of where it went. It affected their comfort zone. And that, you know, just like you said tonight, that's a lot of the problem. We can't fix their comfort zone, though. Matter of fact, their comfort zone is really going to be hampered here very soon with, you know, like you said, the Middle East, the sun, earthquakes, volcanoes, the destroyer, you know, all this stuff. This is really going to turn their couch upside down.
And I just want to say, too, that I'm not, you know, we're not on here talking about this to, you know, generate fear, because that's not what we're trying to do.
Oh, no.
Read Psalm 91, you'll feel better.
And if you don't read it, if you don't feel better, read it twice.
Exactly.
but what I was getting at, Roz, is the fact that when some of these, you know, even though I started out and I was endeared to the Old Testament and I read the Old Testament, at those times I couldn't understand it real well. And so I'd zoom right away, just like a rocket, to the New Testament, because it seemed like I could pick up and really fly with that. And so I was a New Testament person, and of course, then later received the Holy Spirit and, you know, went on and on and on and blah, 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 blah. And then I finally reached the plateau of where I figured out that I wasn't perfect and I didn't know it all, and I had to slow down. But one of the things that over the last couple of years, I have got some of the books from these rabbis, you know, and they're not writing anything in the New Testament. They're just writing the Old Testament. But, man, let me tell you, Glazerson, I guess him especially, some of the stuff that he's writing about, and, you know, I'm talking about things that really God clicks on to, so to speak. It's like he sees. And let me try to explain this, because I don't know how to explain it. And if it doesn't make sense, just, you know, say that I'm off tonight or something. But it's almost like, you know, it's like you see a floor, you know, you're standing on a floor and you get down real close to the floor and you're looking at, you know, the little marks on the floor, the little designs and all this kind of stuff. It's still part of the floor. But it's like when some of these guys write, the floor's layered like dimensional. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Old Testament has a hidden dimension in it. It's like you begin to just go down. Well, it's like you remember where it talks about us walking out into the water, you know, first it's, you know, we're ankle deep, I guess, and then it comes on up to the knees and then up to the waist, and, you know, we're getting in deeper water, and that's talking about the water of the Word.
Right.
Well, it's like the Old Testament, which I never could really grasp as heavy as I could the New Testament, it's like it's not just the basic Old Testament. It's like it has hidden dimensions that I didn't even know how to look up. And these guys, they do it every day. They talk about it every day. But I guess because they're rabbis and, you know, they're waiting for the Messiah to come, and we know who the Messiah is, and some of us done met him, and some of us met him more than once, okay? But it's so amazing that we can't it all fits together, because the New Testament is built on top of the foundation of the Old Testament.
Amen, Larry. Amen. I wish people would get that.
It's like we need to sometimes go down in the basement to the foundation and really just lay down on the foundation and realize what's under it.
Mm-hmm.
See? I know this is sounding a little weird, But I'm trying to describe what I see, and sometimes, it gets a little far out there. But what I'm saying is there is dimensions not only to the New Testament, and you can read the New Testament, and you can read the same verse over and over and over, and every time you read it, it almost sounds different. It's like as long as you read the word, you'll never get it. You'll never get it down right. You can even, I've known people that literally memorized a lot of verses, but they didn't really know what they said. And I know Dorothy knows what I'm talking about. Is when I say, a lot of times, in the scriptures, you can read the words, and you might read it 10 times, but on the 11th time, all of a sudden, something clicks, and you see it in a new light, and you thought, wow. I never saw it like that before. It's like a revelation, basically.
Right. That happened to me quite a number of times.
it's a good feeling. It really is a good feeling. And I don't know why I'm talking about all this. Maybe some people listening, maybe they need to go back and read some more, too. Maybe some are really deep in the New Testament, but they kind of walked away and left the Old Testament way off somewhere and hadn't gone back and looked real close in a long time. I don't know.
I do know
they fit together real. They're one on top of the other. And the funny thing is, this book, in other words, the Bible, the one that I carry, well, I'm using tonight the New King James Version, it don't matter what anybody's got. You've got an Old Testament, a New Testament, and pretty much the same amount of books. And all of that, and this is what's interesting to me, all of that is what Jesus said, literally. He said in these words, he's talking to the rabbis back then even. He says, you search those scriptures for eternal life. And he says, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, what they do is point to me. But that's a pretty, even though that sounds simple, that's a pretty deep subject. A lot of people can't put that together. But anyway, I don't know. We're coming into some times where we're certainly going to need to be able to anchor on some of these scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. We're going to need these things. We're going to need to know what they say, because it's not going to be just, the biggest boogeyman's B.O. in Washington, okay? There's a bigger boogeyman. He works hard. If you get my gist.
Yeah, I get it.
And the bigger boogeyman and all of those that work for him, they're not always visible. They hide a lot. They're really, really bad guys, and that's why there's actually a deliverance ministry, hopefully, in the land. I know some that do that. Russ Dizdar, and I know a number of people. I think Marzulli does a little bit of that. And I've done it for years. I hate it, but I do it. I've done it. The Lord's had me do it. I've never enjoyed it. It's heavy stuff, and it takes a toll on you. But, I've done it for a long time. I'm not doing much of it right now. But, it's amazing, though, that, and let me share this. This is something I felt like I just wanted to share, okay? People would wonder, and I know that people are frightened right now. I don't even get any emails hardly. I think everybody's hid out or something. But listen, if God has decided to bring this nation down or judge this nation or to whatever degree he chooses to do it, you're not going to stop that. No matter how you struggle, no matter how hard you pray, blah, 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 blah. And I know, some people say, well, all you got to do is pray and believe and blah, 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 blah. But, I know a lot of people over the years that I have heard say a lot of things, and they didn't happen. You don't know how many people I remember in the so-called church that would go to car lots and claim cars. And I only know about one that got one out of a bunch, But, so sometimes these things, the prayers you pray do work out. However, just to use myself, for instance, I have found unless it's in the actual direction of the Holy Spirit for you to pray that prayer, and for that prayer to have effectiveness, you can do it over and over and over, and it's not going to move anything.
Wow.
Well, y'all are so excited tonight.
You know, Larry, it's been a while since I've been on the radio, and the reason is because I had to step away for a while. I had to, you know, get myself together, and, you know, and I know that you don't know me that well. I mean, you know, but I've known you for, you know, I've been talking to you now for a couple of years, and I've talked to your wife, and you know, I talked to, you know, a few close friends of yours, and I've gotten close to. And one of the things I've learned and I've picked up along the way is always research what you read. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to do that because, you know, they just go over the word, and if they get the whole sentence, you know, if they just don't understand that one word, you know, but they get the rest of the sentence, they kind of figured they get it. And one of the things I've learned is to go back and read, get the definition of that word so you understand. It's kind of like songs you sing. People can sing a tune and not have any clue as to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at any rate, not that has anything to do with the price tags, but I just felt like I need to throw that out there. You know, I've just been trying to get things together in my life, and you know, I really feel the Lord's been showing a lot of me to me. You know, either things I have to fix or you know, just new things that are popping up, just seeing things, the way this new movement has come over people, and it's come over them that they don't even see it. They can't feel it because to them it's just everyday life. And when it really hits the fan, they're not going to be unless they're out of that circle, they're not going to be able to. And people are going to laugh at them, and they're going to curse them. They are going to, your own family is just going to put you away. And my last show I did a couple weeks ago, this gal was put away because her family said that she read the Bible too much, you know. And this is happening in this country right now, that people
are being
put.
Well, it's not only happening now, Roz, it's getting worse by the day, seriously. It's a spiritual attack. This is demonic-led, and it's almost like, well, you know, of course the Bible says that, you know, we're going to have, all of us going to have trouble with our families. And even though we hear that and have known that word for a long time, and you and I and others, we almost don't want to receive it. We think maybe there's a way around it. Maybe there's a compromise we can, mm-hmm. But, you know, yet we still bump those heads, and unless they can change you to be like them, they're not going to accept what you are.
Mm-mm.
And seriously, I don't know any way to fix that. The Bible doesn't indicate that it gets fixed, actually. It's just family against family, and we happen to be born in the time frame that called the last days, the end times, or whatever you want to call it. And this is really ramping up. I mean, you know, even though before there was problems, you know, we would see this spirit rise up to mock. And, you know, a lot of times it was just mockery. A lot of times it was just backbiting and talking about, you know, that would happen. But now they'll put you in they'll put you away. If they can do it, they'll put you away.
Yep.
And listen, I was in law enforcement for 35 years or more, and I have seen this stuff happen. You know, I've seen it. Now, I have tried, you know, always this, and I stayed in trouble because in law enforcement when I was different places, I always tried to do my job righteously, and I always tried to, in my job, quietly ask myself, well, what would Jesus do in this, you know, and sometimes some of the things I had to do was instantaneous, and they're already done before my mind started working, you know. But that was my training kicked in. But then there were times to where I could sit back almost and look, and I could see somebody either being set up. I could see somebody being accused of things they certainly didn't do because they didn't even have the ability to do them. But I have seen people in law enforcement, you know, be set up for years. I've seen this happen. I've seen false charges. I've seen all these things, and I've tried hard if it was my case. Listen, I would even let somebody go free. I have seen officers before, and now, guess what? Judges now say that law enforcement officers can lie on the stand in court. Back when I started, you'd go to prison for that. Perjury.
Definitely.
You know? But they've changed it. They've twisted all of this. They've actually what they do is they write a new policy and they play like it's law. And it ain't got anything to do with law. Not real, you know. But they do it, and I saw it building. It's kind of like when I've been on different radio shows and I've told people that when I was in law enforcement, I really began to see the change between protect and serve, which we did when I started law enforcement. We were out there to protect people and serve them and help them. I mean, man, there's many a times when I worked in Fort Worth, I would, that was a place that had a lot of bars, and I usually worked the midnight shift. There's a lot of times I just put a drunk in the back of my car and take him home, you know? But, of course, there's other ones that would get him in an alley and beat the crud out of him and then throw him in the back and take him to jail and tell everybody he jumped on them, you know? I've seen that stuff. I know how it works.
I've seen it, too. I've been in law enforcement. I've seen
yeah.
it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but,
I do.
Our judge is going to judge us. He will judge righteously, and he knows the truth. But, you know, seriously, going back to the family, you know, used to, they just kind of make fun of you. And you know, I've seen the time frame of that, but it's almost like a few years ago, something changed. It seemed like in the spirit realm that there was an influx of the demonic that really began to allow families to just really almost demolish the life of an individual that wouldn't conform to in other words, whether it was the woman or the man, there's always somebody in the family that run the family, the strong-willed one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know. It's not, and believe it or not, it's not always the women. A lot of times it's the men. But there was always somebody in the family, and they would kind of set the heading, you know, the way the family is supposed to go. And then, you know, they'd kind of tell, as the child was being raised up, they'd tell him, you know, or her or whatever, what they needed, whether they was going to, you know, you need to just, you know, get married and have kids. You know, there's a lot of that. You know, or, you know, some, you need to be a doctor, you need to go do that, you know, you need to go to college, you don't need to go to college, you need to, you know, and there was always that helpful advice. It was very natural advice, you know. But then something changed in the last few years, though, that if, especially if you begin to reach out to really to find God, I mean, to really, really find him, it's like all hell breaks loose in the family. In other words, if it's the husband trying to do that and trying to, and you know, they actually reach the point where they do want to change and they begin, their life actually begins to physically change in front of people. In other words, that, you know, maybe where they were real bold and loud and cursive and all of this, all of a sudden they're milder, they're gentler, they listen more, they, you know, and when they start this change, it's like all hell breaks loose and everybody's after them. For anything, just anything. And of course, we know in the spirit realm, that's how the enemy of our souls does that. He don't want us to prosper in the spirit realm, and so he throws everything natural at you he can, even the kitchen sink if he can get it, you know, unhooked. He'll throw that at you and tries to bring you down. But it's very serious. We've reached a really, really place where it's very serious. And you know, Augusto Perez, I don't guess he'd mind me sharing. The last two or three times, if you've noticed, I don't know how you kept up with him, Roz, but last two or three trips he made, he didn't tell anybody. He kept it secret.
Right.
And he just kind of found out about it when he come home. But during those times, you know, I was in intercession for him, and the last two or three trips, the enemy literally tried to kill him physically. I mean, the enemy is out to kill Augusto Perez bodily, and this has been ongoing, and I know that he's been in prayer and concerned about that. And really just miraculous events have even angelic probably have kept Augusto from literally being killed in these other places that he's gone lately. And it's that's what a lot of us are beginning to find, that you know, some of it, but that's only the, you know, the ones on the couch though, Roz, like you talked about, they're not too much danger right now. They're not doing anything. They're not in danger. The danger is when you begin to pray against and hinder, you know, the enemy's kingdom. I mean, when you begin to fiddle with his business, it gets serious. And that's when you begin to have lots and lots of problems. And it's a whole lot easier not to do that than it is to do it. But I've always been so hard-headed, and I don't know why, Roz, but you strike me as the same way.
That I am.
He's not going to stop me. If I feel like the Lord wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. If I feel like the Lord wants me to say it, I'm going to say it.
I just look at it this way. I don't want to have to deal with his wrath on me for something I was told to do and didn't do it. I don't know about anybody else, but
well, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm in total agreement. Let me share this with you. This is something I've really hardly ever shared. I don't know if many people ever heard any of this, actually, to show you how God works. And, you know, I can't say that he's going to continue to work like this. I have my suspicions, I'll put it that way, that we're about to see a lot of things in the kingdom of God operating that are not going to be overt, or in other words, open to the public.
Right.
But here's some things the Lord had me do secretly a few years ago. I'll share about four of them with you, because I was crazy enough to do it, I guess. Years ago, when I just first came into the church and began to operate and began to pray for people and intercede and all of this, the Lord began to use me in a really strange, strange manner. He would have me write people that you just can't sit down and write hardly. And most people don't even have their addresses anyway. But one of the ones that he had me write, I'll start with one of them. I don't know if you remember it or not, because you're a little bit younger than I am, but at one point in time, the country Nicaragua, there was I guess he was a rebel leader. I don't know. He became the president of Nicaragua. His name was Daniel Ortega.
Oh, yes, I remember him.
You remember Daniel? Matter of fact, I think
Ortega.
He's president again. He's still president again down there. But
Ortega.
See, when this happened, he was, you know how, this is the funny thing about the U.S. It's okay to be a dictator if you're our dictator. You know, you know how that works, right?
So true, yeah.
Okay. Well, see, Daniel Ortega was the bad guy, as the U.S. would say. And so when he took office, and I mean he took it now, the odd thing was, you know, the Lord put him on my heart to pray for him. And I was in a very hard time. I had lost a job. I didn't have any money, didn't have a job. I'd borrowed a car to drive around. Two or three people were letting me come by their house to eat. I mean, I was in a bad spot. So about all I could do was pray. So I was praying. And I was in Northeast Texas at the time. And I was helping a pastor in a church who didn't have any money either. So I was doing it kind of freebie. But all of a sudden, the Lord put Daniel Ortega on my heart to begin to intercede for him. And I did. And I interceded and I interceded. And they didn't get him out of government. You know, he actually became the president of that country, Nicaragua, and they couldn't, the U.S. could not dislodge him, and they were trying. And we was literally at war, basically, with Nicaragua, and we was in such a fix. I guess it's kind of like Cuba now. You couldn't get, there was no phone calls and mail freely. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You could literally not make contact with anybody in that country legally. You know what I'm saying? I know Dorothy probably clicks on those old-time ways they did
them. Right.
And anyway, the Lord told me one day while I was hunting a job and I was praying and I was going by people's house to have a meal, and the Lord said, I want you to write Daniel Ortega a letter. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, how in the world? You know, you a lot of times when God tells you to do something, most of the time it really don't look plausible. It actually looks kind of, I don't know how you can get there from here, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And I hope this helps people. But what I did was I sat down and I wrote him a letter. you know, as the Lord had dealt with me to write him, and I wrote him a letter. It's about 2 pages long, and I folded it up, and I put it in an envelope, and I wrote his name on the outside, and I tried hard to get an address for, you know, where he was in Nicaragua, but you couldn't do it. You couldn't mail anything to him in Nicaragua because we were at war, so to speak. They were trying to, the CIA and all these others were trying to dislodge him from office down there and assassinate him. That's how it works. And so I didn't know what to do. Well, guess what? I got a call from some friends of mine who are both passed away now. They're dead now. But they lived up in northern Arkansas. And they said, you know, said, we've got a burden to have you come up here and stay with us about a week and eat some good meals pray, just pray. Just stay around the house here and walk around the house and pray if you want to. Just anything you want to do. We just have that burden. So I told all my friends, I said, I'm going to get on the bus because I had, you know, the car I was driving. I got on a bus. And I drove up there on a bus, and I stayed with them for about a week. Well, guess what? This is the funniest thing. About the fourth or fifth day, they said they needed to go to a little place called Harrison, Arkansas. Well, I never heard of it. You know where, some of y'all may know where it's at, up by the border of Missouri and Arkansas there, towards Branson. But anyway, yeah. We drove up there for them to meet with somebody that they had been doing some work with before and was going to check with him, and I never even heard of him. And when we got there, we went in, and so he provided a meal, and we all sat down to eat dinner. And as we was talking, it kind of slipped out about, I told him I said, you know, I'm doing the strangest thing, because we're sitting there talking around a meal, and, you know, I kind of brought it up how that I'd had Daniel Ortega on my heart for so long, and I'd wrote him a letter, but I said, I'm carrying that letter around with me in my Bible right now. I said, I've got it here, but I don't know what in the world I'm going to do to get it to him. I said, I don't know how to mail it to him. Well, the guy sitting at the table stopped eating, and he just stared at me, and he stared at me, and I thought, was it that bizarre? But, you know, he told me this. He said, you had no way of knowing this. He said, but guess who a guest of mine will be tomorrow? I said, I don't have a clue. I'm just here with, and I'll name my friends Gerald and Louise. That's their real names, you know. I'd come to stay with them.
Right.
And he said, the Nicaraguan ambassador to the U.S. is coming to my house tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he got on the phone and called, and it was a woman. He called her. And told her what it was, told her that the Lord had dealt with me to write Daniel a letter, and I wrote it in English, and she said that she would be there and pick that letter up, hand-carried in the diplomatic bag all the way back to Nicaragua and give it to the president himself.
Wow.
Now, can God do something, or can God do something? So listen, you know, and I never shared stuff like this. So Daniel Ortega, now, he didn't answer, okay? He didn't answer. Doesn't have to answer. I mean, you don't have to answer me. I mean, that's pretty weird. I'm doing it anyway. But here I actually arrived with a letter stuck in my Bible to eat a meal at the very location the ambassador of Nicaragua will be at the next day. And the ambassador felt to carry it, hand carry it in diplomatic stuff, which is unsearchable, back to the president of Nicaragua. So anyway, I assume the Lord got the words he wanted to Daniel. And I've never talked to Daniel. I don't know. I never got any feedback. But of course, it would have been illegal to get any feedback at all.
Wow.
Now, that's amazing. And that really happened. I mean, I'm telling you the flat-out truth right there. That really happened. Let me share another one, okay? And if you're not bored.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just sharing with you things I've done before that I've not really released to people, you know, in all these years. I don't know why, but I feel like people need to hear how God can work. But there was another incident a few years later that there was a plane crash in the whole, I think it was a soccer team or something, I think it was, from Zambia over in Africa. You know, I never heard of Zambia before, but I watched it on television because the whole soccer team or whatever was killed in that plane crash, and they were actually, the president of Zambia had been in prison. He had been in prison by the guy he actually wound up beating in the election, and he went from prison to the president, and his name was Frederick Chiluba. And the Lord had put him on my heart because I watched the TV thing, And then I wound up getting, I think it's from TBN years ago. I got a VHS then, because, see, I'm older. And it actually showed how that the president of Zambia, Chiluba, had actually in that that ceremony where they had kind of like a funeral ceremonial thing that they had in Zambia, he actually came into office, and believe it or not, he stood right there and dedicated everybody in Zambia and his government to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that struck me hard because I had never heard a leader of a country do that. And here it was on a VHS. I played it and watched it, and everybody was, I was crying, they was all crying, and it was really heart-rending. To see a leader of a country that had been a prisoner actually become the president and have that tragedy happen, and then actually give the Lord all the glory anyway, and dedicate his nation and his government to God. And so anyway, I'll keep getting tuned up because it's hard not to sometimes, but it was really emotional. So I had him, he was kind of embedded on my heart. I never met him, didn't know anything about him. And one night the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and he said, I want you to write Frederick Chiluba a letter. And I thought, oh boy, I was always kind of hesitant at that because a lot of the time, a lot of the stuff I was in ministry, which you get a lot of people watching you, but also remember I was in law enforcement, and tied in with a number of different, they call them different groups of law enforcement that, watched organized crime and all of this.
Right.
And so you don't want to get too much attention on yourself. And listen, I'll tell you flat out, if you ever send an email or a phone call or a letter, a physical letter, to a president of another country, not only is the country it leaves going to know about it and log it down and watch you, the one that gets it's going to check you out too, in case anybody feels like they want to write anybody like that. You really get a lot of attention. So anyway, but I'm weird, so I told the Lord I'd do it. So I sat down and I wrote a letter, and this one really caused me to stop in the middle of the letter. Because here's what I laid out the physical problem that he was having that the Lord showed me in the spirit realm, told him that he had that problem, and as he read the words of the letter I sent him, he was going to be healed right then. Now, that's sticking your neck out. Matter of fact, that's kind of like taking your head off and throwing it,
Okay.
Well, all right, I went ahead and did it. Of course, I had his address, and a lot of times it's kind of strange when you do these things like this. You're always thinking, is it just me? Is this just me? Is this just my mind thinking this up, or me trying to get a little glory or do something? And I really prayed a lot over things because I never wanted to do that. I wanted anything I did to be 100% the Lord and 0% me, and it doesn't always work if it was. But anyway, I took my head off and throwed it away as far as I could, and I mailed that letter, and it went to Zambia, and 2 months went by. Never heard another thing. I'm sitting around, how the enemy says, well, that's just a bunch of, hooey, that really wasn't real. That was you. That was all you, and that was just stupid, and you shouldn't have done it. You know how the enemy will come at you. Well, I went through a couple of months of doubting. And now of course I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect today. But, when I would get like that, though, I would pull my Psalms 91, and I'd pull out all these scriptures, and I'd read them and pray and just, anyway, about the third month, guess what? I got a letter from, it was the Zambia House. That's what they call the White House. It was in Zambia, but it wasn't white. I got a letter with a return address called the Zambia House. That was their capital. That was that was like the
right.
Like our White House, okay? And I opened it up, and it was from Frederick Chiluba. And I thought, I almost hated to read it because I thought, man, I never told anybody they would be healed as they read the words in the letter I wrote. That's really kind of far out. It's easier to, it's really easier to say things like, well, just keep praying and God will, he'll heal you, you'll get better, But anyway, I had to follow what the Lord said. And so he wrote me back and he told me, he said, brother, said, you know, told me he appreciated what I did. And he said, as you said, I was healed the minute I read those words. He said, but I waited 2 months to write you back because I wanted to see if it stick.
Oh,
and it did. And so there again is another, you know, I mean, that's how God works. And I've that happened to me a few times. And, you know, I did that with Benjamin Netanyahu when he was actually the prime minister the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that I've had a lot of prayer and intercession for, you know, he's special. I mean, in the Lord's heart, Benjamin Netanyahu's special. And you can't get around it. And I know there's some people that's not too heavy on Israel and what Israel does. But, hey, if you're living in the USA and you're saying that, you better turn around and look at your country and what they're doing. You know, we don't need to be throwing rocks. We got bigger ones in our back pockets. And so anyway,
sure.
But ironically, now listen, this is really true. You know, a guy named Michael Drosden, you know, really did a book and you know, on the Bible codes. He called them Bible codes. And he wrote about three or four of them on the Bible codes. And he worked a little bit with the Liyad Rips, you know, Rips in Israel, who is really, I guess, almost like the father of Torah codes in a way. And they came out with they found a Torah code. Matter of fact, the first one they found, ironically, is the fact that, you know, Rabin, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They actually warned him that there was an assassination in the codes. And do you know he didn't take heed, and he was assassinated. And they found one in Benjamin Netanyahu in the codes with an assassination, that he'd be assassinated. And this was what they found it when he was prime minister the first time. You know, matter of fact, he was prime minister and Clinton was president here in the U.S. when this occurred. Because ironically, Clinton tried to knock him out of office with a rumor about a woman and Netanyahu.
Right.
Well, guess what? Up popped Monica Lewinsky. See, that backfired. Drosden and some of them went to Netanyahu's dad, who ironically just died the other day. Benjamin Netanyahu's dad died the other day. And his daddy believed the code. It was the Torah code. And I think Lahio Rips and maybe Glazerson was involved in that. But they took the warning. Benjamin, or, you know, he wasn't into that too much, the codes. And he wasn't listening. But when his dad brought it to him and talked to him, he had a trip set up to go on. He was supposed to go, I think, from England to, I think, Spain, one of the other countries. I don't remember exactly which one. And during the night, he changed his itinerary completely and flew straight back to Israel. And so guess what? He was not assassinated.
Wow.
But, you know, just as with Hezekiah, sometimes you get more time. And so here, it's so ironic to me, though. Here we've got Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister again, the second time. And I really had to pray a lot this time because, I mean, this guy is in a fix like you couldn't believe the pressure he's probably under. I mean, you just couldn't. And we've got the whole Middle East thing that it is just really ramped right now, ready to go. But, you know, all of these things like I'm talking about, you know, I've done things and my wife didn't even know about some of them. You know, I kept them secret, but... it's ironic that whenever this is the strangest thing, and there's other ones. Matter of fact, I wrote a letter. The Lord had me. You remember when Sadat? You remember Sadat, who was
right.
He was the president of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was actually Mubarak was his right hand man, and then when he was assassinated, you know, Sadat made peace with what Rabin, wasn't it?
Right.
And Rabin was assassinated. And Sadat, the Lord had me pray for him and write him a letter, but I never heard back, and I don't ever think he got it, and if he did, he didn't listen, and he was assassinated. But, you know, the Lord's used me a lot in things like that over the years that I've kept quiet and hadn't, you know, people don't know it. They still, and ironically, I wrote another letter one time, and the only reason I'm sharing this is to tell you that God a lot of times uses even more than one. I wrote a letter in 1982 to the Prime Minister of Israel, and I didn't know anybody else did, but I got a letter back that individual knew what I meant, and I was talking. I gave him a word about the – I didn't use Russia. I used bear. I was to write the word bear, which, you know, really means Russia.
Right.
And immediately after I got a response, Israel invaded Lebanon in that big invasion. You know, they found those underground caverns that had submarines and like a million-man army equipment set up and all this for an invasion of Israel.
Right.
But I found out later I wasn't the only one because I heard a testimony a few years ago that Chuck Youngbrandt, I don't know if you know him or not, he was in California, I think, Northern California. He had also, the Lord had him write it, the same individual letter. So see, even though a lot of times we think God is not involved, he's way more involved than people really, really know. It's just really, I guess, so much that a lot of times people are not in the loop that it's going on.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say to everybody, to the listeners out there, if you happen to go to your mailbox and get a letter from Larry, I suggest you run.
Oh, my Lord. But, you know, Roz, and that's just not talking about me. I just wanted to share those things that a lot of times God is more involved with what's going around us than we even know. And a lot of
right.
the times, do you know that all the people that I lived around and worked around never knew I was doing that? It's a ministry. That was a ministry. I was involved in all of that kind of stuff, and nobody ever had a clue. Now, the only people who had a clue, of course, was like Mossad and CIA and NSA and all of the agencies that were monitoring those communications because, see, like, 6 months ago, you know, the Lord had me send an email to Benjamin Netanyahu, and I do know where to send one to that he could get it. You know, and these communications, though, is what I'm saying, they're monitored. You know, I know that I'm not doing this underground. I know that it's very above ground as far as intel agencies, but, you know, I just wanted to share that to let people know that to the degree that God sometimes works in situations, whether it's with nations, kings, presidents, Joe somebody walking down the street. God is very much involved. I mean, a lot of God's kingdom that's operating and moving right now, we don't see it. It's not visible particularly, you know. I mean, even though, and even the Bible talks about how, Roz, that we're ambassadors for Christ, right?
Right, exactly.
But who admits that hardly? You never hear anybody say, you know, really admitting that. You never have anybody inviting the ambassador of Christ to this, that, or the other. I mean, it's like it's pretty much it's an invisible kingdom, fully functioning, and I'm only my little parts I'm sharing. Okay, I'm sharing my little part that I've done over a few years. But think about it, God's a lot bigger than me. So out there, he's got other people, just like I mentioned Chuck Youngbrandt, and there's different ones. I think Augusto kind of flows in the same type of thing. You know, I don't know about L.A. and who he's talked to or hadn't. I know he's kind of internationally known, but, you know, a lot of people's involved in God's business, and people as a you know, group don't really know this is going on. I hope that was interesting. I hope it helped somebody. I hope it maybe opened somebody's eyes. I don't know.
Well, you know, Larry, he's gonna ask people to do things that who are gonna say yes to him. I mean, if someone's gonna sit there on the pew and say, "Oh no, can't get out of my comfort zone," then that's what he's.
You're exactly right. That, listen, you know, I'm so glad that God over the years hasn't shown me the ones that refused him. because you know they have. You know, there's a lot that just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people. Number one, well, it's kind of like this, Roz. You know, even today, I still get emails from people. You know, and I know, and I'm sure Dorothy knows that, my God, NSA and all these other people, they know, especially Homeland Security now, they know who you are. I don't care if your email says anonymous or the fly in the water. You know, they know who you are. And I'll have people send me information and say, please don't let anybody know I did this or give out my email address. And I'm thinking, they already got it. If you sent it to me, they got it. But it's strange you can't convince them of that because, you know, I have some that really get mad. If somebody sends me some really good information and I post it and it accidentally still had their address, I get my rear chewed out over that. And, a lot of times I don't mean to, but my plate's so full, and I'm just a one-man pony show almost, that, you know, I do all the posting and research, and I do all this myself, you know. I don't have any help, and sometimes I try to hurry and I mess up, and you know, it just happens.
Well, it's understandable. Like you said, you got a lot on your plate. I've written so many emails to Professor Moldyshev too about those about the what you had sent me, and I think you know LA has done it, and you know I've spoken to Klaus about it, and even Klaus, you know, it's hard for him to even have that communication. So I mean, it's really hard with the international, you know, trying to get information. That way.
It's really difficult anymore. You know, just like say me and Klaus, you know, listen, I have a lot of hits. You know, my computer gets hit a lot, or they try to anyway. I have lots of problems with my internet going down, my satellite stuff going down. Klaus, you know, I've talked to Klaus and he shared with me, you know, the information that Klaus puts out is not what they won't put out. And especially you get talking about the Genesis 6 giants and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, the big guys. And they hit him. His emails and computers get hit all the time. You know, and I know a lot of people that, you know, I've had people, you know, write me, said, well, if you just use the email provider that I've got, everything would work fine. And I think, you don't have a clue. Number one, it's a spiritual battle. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It ain't got to do with your internet provider, you know?
No.
Only God can get some emails through that I've had to do. I mean, that's the only way they ever go sometimes. It's just God. I pray and pray, and they just sneak through. But a lot of times, man, I get hit. A lot of emails I send, I have to do it two or three times to different people, especially Klaus, because they intercept it. And listen, you know, I've had a little, just a little, okay? Now, this is probably not good timing, but, you know, Moldyshev, you know, the Russian researcher, you know, to get anything to him or back from him, man, it is incredible because, number one, in Russia, they monitor all of his data coming into him from over here like crazy. In other words, Russia censors it. Plus, over here censors it. Even though everybody announces that we're such great friends, we seem to be incredible enemies.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing is, in other than politics, okay, politics and military, other than politics and military, Russia, and in other words, Moldyshev and Klaus in Austria and myself sitting here on Oklahoma Mountain of all places, we have a lot of things to talk about, if you know what I'm saying. I literally cannot get a telephone call through to Moldyshev. I can get an email to him sometimes, and I do get responses. And I did, and listen, I did send Moldyshev that copy of Stuart Best, Red Star, Project Red Star.
Yeah, watch that.
Okay, I got an email, you know, back from Moldyshev on that it was really good. I mean, they really picked up on it because of a lot of the, I know you don't have Moldyshev's books, but I think I sent you a couple of copies out of one of his books about some of the architecture, where he was drawing what mountains looked like what they were in an ancient civilization. you know, buildings. They look like rock, but it was really built, old, ancient, petrified buildings and things. I think I did anyway. I know I sent you some of Mulder Shelf stuff. But anyway, that's basically...
Larry.
Huh?
Rod just fell off the keyboard. Does that mean I can sneak in a couple of questions?
Yeah.
I have a question. There are people in the chat room who want to know, too. There's,
I was trying to watch that, but I cannot get it. It keeps saying connecting, but it never will for me, so I can't read the question.
Huh. Okay. Now, we've had the John Moore thing with the Nibiru, and we've had that asteroid that's supposed to, I think it was on John Moore's show that I heard someone say that she actually thought it was going to hit. And I was wondering what you saw that, because I know you look at that stuff a lot. Now, my sense of it is that it's too early. There's too many other things that have to happen first. What is your sense of it?
Well, I do know that I've done a lot of studying of, you're familiar with Anton Johansson, that Norwegian prophet?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, he says that something happens somewhere out in Iceland region, North Sea, that causes some incredible catastrophes in the future. Now, he said that 100 years ago. I mean, you know, but the guy, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ came to him, and he actually showed him World War One, and even showed him where the battles would be fought and who'd win them. And what Anton prophesied was exactly right. Anton also saw the Titanic leaving and prophesied its destruction. It would sink. He said the Titanic would sink. Everybody else said it couldn't sink. It was impossible. Couldn't be sunk. So anyway, he's got a pretty good record. But he also gave indications of something that happens. And you know, anything in the North Sea is almost involving, like, the Canary Islands also. There seems to be, from people that studied the way he said those things, that something hits the North Sea or that part of the Atlantic, Northern Atlantic, that is either an asteroid strike or a piece of comet or something that moves the plates. It really causes an incredible tsunami. So how soon? You know, I really don't know, but I do know that there's going to be incoming. You know, I know the destroyer's coming. I don't have a date. I mean, just none. I mean, but Augusto seems to feel we're very, very close to some of this stuff, to watch, you know, carefully, September, October, November, all through that time frame. But I don't know anybody that really is giving the information out. This is one of the best kept secrets I guess we've ever found. You remember when they talked about, you know, some of the other comets and, well, people, you know, well, Augusto, he talked to some of the astronomer people and, John Moore and McCaney and, you know, there's a whole bunch of folks out there, though, that have studied some kind of incoming, and they keep predicting it. But we don't have a date. I wish I did. I just don't. But I would have to say, with the way everything is coming together, somewhere along the line, there's something on a strike somewhere. You know, ironically...
I've been thinking that the Middle East has to really blow up first. Of course,
I'm like you. I think that we're going to have trouble there first. Yeah, I do. And it's probably not that too far away from the way it looks.
Yeah, it still happened very quickly. Absolutely. But
that's going to be, I think, what really affects us right away. I mean, if that starts over there, you know, just almost overnight, we're going to have problems with the economy. We're going to have problems with... you know, it could even bring on the economic collapse that, you know, we keep seeing. Maybe not. But, you know, all of this stuff is just hanging by a thread almost. And, you know, we've got the oil problems. And you know, between me and you and the fence post, I don't have any confidence in our government.
Gee, I wonder why.
Well.
You can't.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's... I'll tell you, it's amazing.
I just don't understand how the economy is still limping along. I mean, there's obviously nothing there. I used to do accounting for a living. There's nothing there. So I just don't understand how they're doing it, unless it's just the plain old fact that it's funny money to begin with. So.
Well, I think a lot of our money now anyway is just dots and dashes on the computer. It really hadn't, it's not really real. I mean, it's almost like an illusion. And the thing is, you know, basically they're holding it up right now. I mean, it's propped up. It would have fell already. And, you know, I think it would have all probably came down right after Obama took office, really, if they had not propped it, which they did. They pumped money. And they're right now pumping all of this non-money, money we don't even have, actually, you know, into the EU to keep it together and keep it up. And so, you know, we've got all that going on. One of the things that's odd, though, if you'll notice, all over the planet, every country almost has gone into a phase of basically almost like close to martial law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you've noticed that in other countries, but it's going on. And I think they all know something. They all know that it's very, very close. And really, that's probably the major plan is martial law when all this begins to happen all over the world, basically. Of course, the New World Order will try to build something out of that and come back from that. But I think it's just part of the plan.
Well, the death of evil people is astounding to me. I'm still floored by it every day. You know, how can they be so evil? You know?
Oh, it's a spirit thing. I mean, this is a spirit. It's an incredible evil spirit that is manifesting in everybody on the planet that it can manifest in. The only reason it's not manifesting in you, maybe in me, and different ones, is that the Holy Spirit's not allowing it to, because this thing is really, it's just closing the eyes, glazing the eyes over of all these people. And you know what? This is what's so interesting is they really want the evil.
It feels good to them. It massages them. It makes them feel good. So they like it and they want more of it.
It's almost
power?
It's almost it's like an energy in a way. It makes them. It's like somebody that's about on their last leg gets a pop the pill, you know, and they get high. And they can face whatever monster it is for about 15 minutes. Kind of like people that drink, same thing.
But they don't know what it is,
though. They can face that monster for a few minutes, but then later on it's not so good. But it's a type of an energy. It makes them feel like they can make it through till tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's lying to them. It's, you know, it reminds me of a couple years ago when actually 5 years ago or 4 years ago when I first started doing Preparing for Battle, I found something online, and it had to deal with the 2 Timothy 3:4, and it was this man, and you know, he's a pudgy guy, and wrapped around his body was this spirit, and it was this demon, and he was talking in his ear. I wish I could find that thing, and I cannot for the life of me. And that's what this is. It's talking to them in their ear. It's whispering. It's chattering. So their mind's just so occupied and listening to the spirit that they can't even see what's happening to them. They just keep going on with their life. People, it's so disgusting. I can't even put it in the words. That's what I've been saying. I've been really looking back and sitting back and just watching all this stuff happen, and people are letting it happen. They're watching these reality shows. They're getting into other people's lives, and they're becoming a part of it.
I'll tell you what, that was one thing. I'm glad you brought that up, Roz, because of this social thing that have you seen this social phenomenon grow?
Yes.
Well, alongside it, we're also, or maybe embedded within it, we're seeing this zombie thing rise up at the same time. It's like multiple spirits all in one atmosphere. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's exactly
And, you know,
right
that, the funny thing is, if you look at the Word of God, nowhere in the Word of God, well, for one thing, nowhere in the Word of God does it say that God believes that democracy is a great thing. Because actually, he tells you not even a king is. He starts out, you don't even need a king. You got me. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
But they had to have a king. Couldn't keep. So anything, they begin to have worse and worse kings. Well, we ought to be aware of that in the U.S. by now. But, I'll tell you what. I have prayed and prayed, and I'll share with you this, what the Lord showed me. He showed me that the thing called democracy or whatever and the social movement and all this is it's basically everybody does what's right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's it right there.
It's a feel-good kind of thing. I'm good, you're good, everybody's good, and I mean they're bad all along and doing bad things, but you can't say it. And see, that's one thing with the social deal. Well, it's like the social gospel, basically. You know, everything's right. You know, it don't matter what you believe. We'll all get to the same place. You know, it's just a lie. It's an absolute lie. But it's almost taken over the whole world. I have never seen this social movement and this, I'm just mentioning the Muslim Brotherhood in it because over in the Middle East, that's where, and of course, they've infiltrated us, too. They're in our government and everywhere else, but this social thing has just risen up and embedded itself in the whole world society. It's, you know, where we used to have a movement like that, it'd start in, well, maybe you'd think it'd start in France or Germany, or it'd start in maybe, you know, way off somewhere. But, hey, this one's rising up amongst all of us on the planet at the very same time. That ought to be a clue right there.
Yeah,
and then in the middle of that, we've got this, and I've been watching, I don't like the zombie thing, I don't write much about it or try to pay a lot of attention, but some of them are watching it real close, and this thing is increasing all over the whole planet. You know, of course, at the same time, we've got the Harry Potter books, we've got, oh man, all of these, when I go to Walmart, I have never seen so many vampire books in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's incredible. And, there's not much you can say. And ironically, too, is the Hunger Games is just, it's went wild. I mean, literally, I keep up with it a little bit because I'm trying to see where it's going. It's going to turn out to be, if there's not intervention of some kind, which could be, it could be a war, World War III, it could be, you know, anything. But there's supposed to be four movies. There's already been one, The Hunger Games, but there's going to be four of them. And I read all three books. Very, very interesting. And the odd thing is that the author of these books writes is the fact that it's not about the games. So if it's not about the – have you read any of that or looked at any of it, Roz?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to take a look at that.
Oh, okay.
But I just watched Wrath of the Gods, though. That was interesting.
Well, the interesting thing is, it was almost like The Hunger Games when it came out. It came out about the time of all the social movement, you know,
mm-hmm.
that began all over the planet, and just almost like became a part of that. But the interesting thing is, it's almost like the rise of Obama, and of course, and you know. The fictional book, you know, it's really not about the games. It's about the ones that rule and run the games, you know, and slaughter the people. It's a sacrifice. In other words, every year or so, they sacrifice all these people, almost like in a stadium, you know, like Rome. We can go back to that, you know.
The Colosseum, yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking that when you said that, too.
Hmm. Well, go ahead. Enlarge on that if you want to.
Well, just around that time too, they were saying that they would pay people to take their elderly family members off life support, that they would actually pay them to do it.
Mm.
That's where we're
going. You remember the old, I joked with you one time about Sergeant Green, the movie.
Oh yeah, I watched that.
Well, you know, I've come to watching what's going on. That might not be all of that fictional. You know what I'm saying?
No, I believe it.
That brings up another thing. We are seriously about to go into an incredible famine if something doesn't change. I mean, have you been watching the news lately on
yes.
what's happening to all the crops, you know, especially America?
Well, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Soylent Green because I just was talking to my mom about it yesterday or the day before. I was like, Mom, did you ever see that movie? Because she was born in the 1950s. I mean, you know, I kind of figured she would have. But, the food is not – food isn't food. you know, and that goes into the zombie thing. People are just
popping stuff.
Yeah, they're popping things in the microwave. They're not doing anything from scratch anymore. They're I got to get dinner ready so I can watch the Kardashians on television. You know what I mean? It's everybody's just so focused in on everybody else's life that they're not even taking any initiative on their own. But that's where Satan wants him. That's his plan. He wants people to be manipulated like that. So when it hits the fan, they won't even know that it happened.
They won't even realize what's happened, and it's already happened. That's the thing. It won't be, you know, a lot of people think, well, we'll get a warning. Well, no, they're living through the warnings doing something else.
No, they're looking
and
for
it's same way
they're
spiritually,
looking for like a big bang.
Yeah, spiritually it's the same way. A lot of us right now have been living, you know, different ones pretty much agree. Rick Wiles had a meeting with a number of really, really sharp guys in the prophetic, and they pretty much said that warning time is completely over. I mean, what we're doing now, all of us, really all the watchmen pretty much, women and men both, are really just, we're just get kind of giving play-by-play descriptions of what's going on, what's happening every day.
Yep.
We're so close to a number of things,
that.
You know, unless God puts them off, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. But, you know, and again, I'm not trying to cause fear. And I know, you know, the show's not about fear. The show's about being prepared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and I tell you what, I just read, I don't know if you saw my blog or not, I just read an interesting book called 8 Minutes to Digital Winter.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is, it's almost like that book, I was trying to remember the name of it, 60 Seconds, or 1 second, 1 minute after, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but this one, where that one didn't have much the spiritual prophetic in it, this one does. And this one, 8 Minutes to Digital Winter, it's by Mark Hitchcock and Alton Gansky. Pretty interesting and really thought-provoking. It makes you actually think about things that you would not have considered, even in your preparations maybe. That's a really good book. That's a good book to read. You know, I'm assuming we've all got time to read a book. And you know, here's the interesting thing about it, Roz, is the fact that I didn't even, you know, knowing how some of this stuff is coming and – if you walk on the prophetic edge, a lot of times you feel like it's all going to be over tomorrow, but yet it's not. It's still drawn out. It's like a rubber band that keeps stretching. Time is.
Yeah.
You know, we still
yeah.
seem to have more rubber band or more stretch in this rubber band or a little more time than we thought. But you know, we've reached the point, though, Roz, that we don't have any time to play with anymore. There's not any play in the rubber band. It's really stretched.
Yeah.
And we need
time.
To really get prepared. Yeah, go ahead and, you know, come back
yeah,
on me
no,
on
I'm
that
saying,
if you want to. I listen.
I was just saying we're on borrowed time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I listen, you know, if God years ago hadn't intervened, a lot of this had been over, and I'll share this with you. How long we got? We got about 30 minutes or maybe less?
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Okay.
We can go over if we need to, Roz. We've got that extra hour in the archives.
Well, I don't want to go too long because I'm tired, but I want to finish the show, though. But a number of years ago, do you remember when there was a hurricane that went backwards in the Gulf of Mexico? It backed up against Mexico, and very few people knew it, but it flooded a lot of tunnels and caverns that had been, just like they had set up for an invasion of Israel, they also set up an invasion to invade the U.S. from the south years ago. And this hurricane went backwards, totally contrary to how it should have done it, and flooded and ruined all of that material and technology that they was going to use. And so that was over. Now, listen, just a couple of years ago or so, a friend of mine, who I wouldn't tell who he is for nothing, but he was involved in a military assessment. You know what an assessment is?
Yes, yes.
Of an invasion. Now, you know, I know a lot of people can make a lot of things out of that, but what I'm basically telling you is our government and our military and all of this already knows we're going to be invaded, okay? It's not a secret to them. It's only a secret to the American people. And the invasion assessments, ironically, the ones they were checking out are really the same invasion points that Red Elk and the prophets have seen. You know, Henry Gruver and all of these. You know, it's West Coast, East Coast, coming down through Canada and Alaska and coming up through Mexico and Florida and the Gulf Coast. You know, this is the way it's going to happen. Matter of fact, I heard Henry Gruber the other day describing, you know, for a long time, he really didn't know why the American, you know, when he saw the subs launching missiles and stuff off our coast in the invasion, he saw that the messages, the warnings were not getting out. Well, he finally the other day, I don't know if you guys heard him, but he said what he had come to know was the fact that we were going to be hit with an EMP pulse just prior to the launch of the attack, and we're not going to be able to warn ourselves or talk to ourselves or help ourselves. So, you know, there again, I don't want to cause fear, but I want people to mentally be aware and prepared for what's coming. You know, a lot of people won't know. They simply won't know. I mean, we should know. We've had all the warnings. I can remember 30 years, guys. I can remember 30 years of prophetic utterances in some of the old Pentecostal churches, and I've heard them, people praying in homes and begin to speak out, and the Lord showing them things, and they would talk about attacks and stuff coming on this country that had never happened, never had happened, but we're going to. And I can finally see now we're in the time frame of when this is going to come now, whether it's this year, next year, I don't know. Hey, Dorothy, let me mention one thing. You asked me about something coming in and incoming.
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay, there's one very interesting thing that happened. I talked to Richard Shaw, Rick Shaw, out in California that does L.A. Marzulli's DVDs for him.
Yeah.
And Richard had Glazerson look up a Nibiru for him, and they did get they found a Tor code with, of course, you know that to look it up, you've got to, you spell it in Hebrew to look it up
right.
In the Torah. Anyway, the Hebrew translation back was that Nibiru, and it's spelled just a little bit different, not much, but just a little different from the N-I-B-I-R-U. It's like Nibiru, something like that. There is that, and it's called a star in the code. And also the year 2013 was embedded in the code. So maybe that'll answer a little bit for you. I know that some are really worried about you. You know, I see on what you wrote here, February 2013.
Yeah, they were saying, I think it was on John Moore's show, and then when I looked it up, some people are saying it's going to fly by real close, and some people are saying it's going to hit. But we've also got all that crap flying around Nibiru. And I'm thinking Nibiru in my head is translating to wormwood. That's what I'm seeing, is the wormwood.
It's very possible. We do know that the destroyer or that dwarf star, it has planets around it, a number of planets, and it actually has a bunch of asteroids and stuff, too. It's like its own solar system. I mean, that's what a lot of people don't realize. That's what Augusto was sharing with me from some of the astronomers that he's talked to about it, is it has its own solar system. And when its solar system is coming through our solar system, it's like, to me, that's like being in a bowling alley.
Mm-hmm. Undercard.
And so we don't know.
Well, I think a year ago I did a whole show with Debbie Sontag.
Yeah.
He's good.
When we talked,
he's really good.
Yeah, yeah, and we talked about that, and we talked about it having its own solar system. Now, I was talking to Dorothy the other day, and I asked her about that comet or the two comets going towards the sun. If that
okay,
was a
one
part
of, those,
of that.
Yeah, McCaney said that, you know, there's one of them, that McColt's or whatever, it comes through every once in a while. The big one that McCaney first brought out happened to go behind the sun and kept going. So nothing occurred that we know of. But we've really got to be watching cosmic-wise, really from now on. You know, the rest of 2012 and into 2013 is a very serious time. But the Torah code of all things, and I'm not telling people to believe that, but it did find a planet named Nibiru, or called it a star, and said that it was the date was 2013. So, you know, I'm assuming. But however, this is what's interesting. We're almost to if it's the Hebrew date, 2013 begins what in September or August?
Mm-hmm.
September, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're not all that too far from any of this, really. Six months, maybe. Maybe not. Now, I do know there is some, I do get intel out of Israel, and they're very concerned. I think that Israel was really planning on a strike on Iran possibly in October, but there is some intel coming back right now that with the way things are with Syria, they're concerned that Syria is about to launch a strike on Israel, Turkey, and Jordan with chemical weapons. And if that occurs, I can assure you, some of the this may be when we see Damascus wiped out. And this is what's interesting, you know, when we wonder, you know, the Bible is not clear. You know, Isaiah 17 is not really clear on what takes out Damascus, other than it's over for Damascus, Syria.
Right.
But ironically, you know, and I've wondered, talking to Spirit Best and other people, you know, I've said. Well, I wonder if Israel does it. I know they can. I know there's been some prophetic books written on Israel actually doing that. But then again, you know, we could actually do that. The U.S. could do it. And then again, you know, right now there's a lot of really, really bad blood between Turkey and Syria. And Turkey, you're dealing with NATO. NATO has nukes. But at the same time, this is something I did not know. I just found out that there is a huge volcano north of Damascus. Not that that'll happen. That's just something to mention, you know, that there is and has been found by satellite a huge volcano and volcanic region north of Damascus, Syria. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we're assuming somebody has to do it with a nuke. Well, they might not have to, you know. God could do it, or the volcano could do it. We don't know. We just don't. A lot of times.
Volcano.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but I thought that was interesting, though, that there is this huge volcano north of Damascus, which is really pretty close, actually.
That is interesting.
But at the same time, at the same time as we're looking at, you know, the political situation and the military situation, it does appear, though, that it could possibly Israel or someone else, you know, actually nukes Damascus. So, you know, Damascus is where a lot of the buried chemical and biological weapons of mass destruction are. And, you know, they're really there, even though they've moved quite a bit of it. That'd be the safest way to take that out would be to nuke it, really.
Yeah,
Larry, I've been wanting to tell you, Larry, that I got a chance to watch Melancholia.
Oh, what a sad movie.
Yeah, it was. They finally put it out.
You know, that was
I
a movie with no hope at all of any kind.
Yeah, no.
And, of course, that's the way they played it. It was, you know, emotions and all. But do you know, for somebody, a total unbeliever, though, that would be how they would probably have to face that.
Yeah, definitely. But I finally had a chance to see it.
Yeah, that was extremely emotional and sad. I mean, that's not an uplifting movie.
Well, there aren't very many of those around anymore. That's why I watch Turner Classic.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I was trying to think of, let's see, what was it? Oh, by the way, fast forward, I appreciate that. That was a very interesting series. Roz.
Which series? Oh, Roz.
Yeah, fast forward.
Oh, wait a minute. She's dropped again. I didn't notice.
Oh, she
it.
Dropped. I knew something happened because she got awful quiet.
Okay,
yeah, Roz,
I'm going to
get quiet.
You were saying something about fast forward?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a great show. And have you been watching Falling Skies?
Yes, I
of
have. That's well, I'll tell you what. Now, this is something else that most people don't talk about at all, is an arrival, you know.
Yeah.
And we are going to have an arrival, and I can't say that it'd be that far away, actually. But one of the interesting things about Falling Skies, and I've had a couple of emails from people that said that's a horrible movie, and of course it is. But one of the odd things is, you know, on one hand, if you've got humankind, and humankind is battling a kind of an intermediary enemy, and they're really hybrids, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I thought that was odd because the hybrids would almost be like Nephilim, you know, the Nephilim hybrid.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That was my thought,
too. And then you've got those, whatever those things are, which remind me of fallen angels almost. The tall, funny-faced ones, you know?
Yeah, the skitters.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough of that yet to know what they really are. I know they're supposed to be running everything, but they stay in the background quite a bit, and I hadn't figured that out. But, you know, this does go along a whole lot with, you remember the arrival dream that I had?
Yes, I remember.
Well, I won't say it again, but, oh, man, it's like it's been imprinted on my. You know, some of those dreams that you have that are not good ones, you don't like to remember them, but I can't get rid of it. But it was a whole lot like Falling Skies in a way. You know, they really were, the bad guys were really had the upper hand, you know. And what's bad, you note it in Falling Skies, you've got a lot of traitors, you know.
Yes.
And really in the dream of the arrival I had, the government, police, military, all of that, there was traitors in there that had already made deals to let them come gather who they wanted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, this is probably how it will be, actually.
Some of us,
and I, you know,
if that was the way it was in Germany, wasn't it?
Yep, yep. And as of yet, you know, we have to, of course, everybody's not going to see all of this, the things we're talking about, you know, the people that don't last till tomorrow, and I don't mean that personally, but, you know, people that pass on, they don't have to worry about it. However, if we don't all pass on, some of us are going to have to worry about it.
Yes, we are.
So we'll find ourselves in a mix we didn't really plan on being in, hardly.
I think there's going to be a lot of denial going on when that takes place, too.
It will be unreal. The amount of denial will just, well, really, seriously, I think that's where people will literally lose their minds. I mean, really, really will. And that's what I find so interesting in this book that I just read, 8 Minutes to Digital Winner.
Mm-hmm.
And do read that if you get a chance. It's really, really interesting. It's got an interesting concept. But the enemy of our souls is involved in there, too. It's just not, it's not a physical book, you know, like 1 Minute After or whatever. That was a physical situation. This one's physical with the spiritual embedded in it. So it's really, really thought-provoking, you know?
Yeah.
But in this book, that's a lot of people, seriously, and all they're having to handle at first is some EMPs to where everything's gone. I mean, all technology immediately is, that's it. And you can't reach anybody. If families are separated, that's it. I mean, whatever. people literally lose their minds. I mean, and I can really see it. I can absolutely see it. And when, of course, you can't make more food. You know, you're eating up what little food there was left, and then there's no more food. And, of course, immediately, you know, you've got problems with people with pacemakers and diabetics, and you can just name a long list of people that probably not going to last a week, you know?
Yeah, you know what?
I was talking to diabetics, so, you know.
I was talking to someone that all three of us are familiar with, and I can't mention her name, but she also has a pacemaker, and she was telling me how it's like it stops during a solar flare.
Hey, see, that's even in the book. This book, people's pacemakers, they either went wrong, I mean started acting wrong, went on the glitch, or they stopped. And another thing, too, that this book is very indicative of, and I'm surprised they used it, is the fact that all of this radiation coming in from the sun also causes problems. And they're just problems that really that other book didn't even take in that this one does.
What was that movie where the beginning of the movie where the pacemakers stop in people, they were just dropping and the birds were dying?
Oh, that was the core.
That's it.
Yeah, now that's another one. The Core is a movie that actually really does is indicative of some of the enigmas or some of the anomalies, you know, electrical especially anomalies and things we've been seeing lately, even the weather. If you watch that movie, The Core, you begin to see problems with the inside of the planet affecting the outside of the planet, you know, even the atmosphere and stuff, and weird storms, lightning. You know, all this kind of stuff. So all these, you know, ironically, all of these things, people that wrote them, they know a little bit something. They got some clues in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been a lot of movies that had come out. The Transformers movie, I mean, you know, the Core, I mean, just along the way, they're leaving a trail just so that they can say, we warned you.
Well, sure. You know, that's really what they say the Illuminati is really good at, is leaving those trails because they like to brag and be smart, you know? And it's just like the Transformers. Remember the Dark of the Moon one?
Yeah.
Well, if you'll remember, you know, I posted some stuff on a craft, you know, a crashed craft on the moon. And
well,
some,
I had gotten that book. I had gotten that book that you told me to get. Yes, I most certainly did.
It's got some interesting stuff in it, let me assure you.
Yes, it does, and I recommend it to everybody. It's an awesome, awesome book.
He's got another one out that I won't, but it's not in English yet, and I can't read Italian. And it's about the end times, the Mayan kind of thing, you know, not the calendar count or whatever. I can't remember the name of it, but his name is Lucas Cantaburlo, I think it is.
That's right, yep.
Mm-hmm. But he's got one out, involves the U.S. and the end times and all of this stuff, but it's only in only in Italian, and I can't do that.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes with Stewart's Project Red Star.
Ironically, when Stewart mm-hmm. wrote that and used the data from those NASA images, the real name of the real secret black project was called Project Red Sun. That was the real name. And I think that's why Stewart had so much trouble with his. His was Project Red Star instead of Red Sun. It was too close, and they fought him over it. And they didn't want the information out on his location either, that Tithonia.
Yeah.
All this stuff's covered up. I mean, they try to keep all this covered all the time.
Well, didn't the last time when you were on with had Klaus and LA on just around, I think it was October or something last year, and we were talking about the pyramids and how the stars, you know, are lined up with them, and now
right.
what December what? 3rd or 4th or 20-something this year, that those stars will be, like, aligned with those. And now I'm hearing that the Egyptians want to knock the pyramids down.
Yeah,
the new government, the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, you're hearing that. I know. I've been hearing that too. It's weird. I mean, really, it's weird. You know.
We're down to five minutes, guys. A little over 5 minutes, just to keep you on.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's finish up by kind of talking about. Interestingly. What is the? I'm sorry, I couldn't read the questions people were chatting with in the chat room. Any other questions there, real quick?
No, that was the main question. We want to know what you thought about that. I don't know. Does anybody have a question? Hurry up and type if you got a question.
Yeah, the only thing I can say that I have seen the destroyer in person. You know, the Lord took me to look at it, but I didn't have a date. And it was on the other side of the sun when I saw it. But there is a code that says 2013. So I would assume that code is indicating that it'll be visible in 2013. And there are some that are saying that they believe in the latter December, it will be visible and away from the sun a little bit where you can literally see it.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I called Dorothy on the phone and told her I had a dream. I called her at like 6:30 in the morning, and I said I had a dream that I saw all these planets around the Earth. And I was, except I was facing the Earth from another planet. I could see what was going on around it.
That's interesting.
And there was just all these planets just surrounded by it.
I have a question.
Well, like I say, the destroyer has its own entourage, its own planets and asteroids and all of that stuff, you know, with it. It's not just a simple, it's not a simple dwarf star, and it's not a simple planet. It's all the above, you know?
No kidding.
Larry, we have a question.
Okay.
Are you doing another audio with Stuart? See, we all love Stuart, too. And do you know what movie Stuart is working on?
I haven't heard from Stuart in over a week now. I tried to contact him last weekend to do one, and he told me he's just too busy. You know, he has changed a lot of his setup, and, you know, I can only do one when he wants to. I'll put it that way. That's his business.
There you go.
I hope I can, but he hasn't called, so I don't know.
I hope his hip is feeling better. That's a major surgery he had there, and it takes a very long time to heal in the natural. So,
my wife, you know, she knows a little bit about that type of surgery, and she told him it's going to take longer to heal than you think. He thought he would pop right back, but it just hadn't happened. And so, and I have a hard time getting with him because his wife has been very ill too, you know. Matter of fact, you know, he and his wife both have Lyme's disease, and my wife does too.
That's a terrible disease. That's awful.
Yes, it is. My wife thought she was literally going to die with it here this last year, but she's finally making some headway. But listen, you know, I don't think you ever get rid of it unless God heals you. But she's battling, and of course, Stuart and his wife are battling it too. It's happening more and more to people. This Lyme disease is everywhere now.
I have to wonder if that wasn't engineered, you know?
It was a bioweapon.
Yeah.
Plum Island.
And even Plum Island is up near here in Connecticut, isn't it? And this is where it started?
Yeah, that's where it started. It got out of the bio lab in Plum Island, and whether it was allowed out or got out on its own, it got out. And through the ticks and the deer and all of that, it has really spread across the country. Matter of fact, we've got an Indian hospital, Native American hospital here close to us, Batelahina, and they even have signs up telling people if you feel a certain way, come get tested, because a lot of people are starting to come up with it, and it's bad stuff. It mimics a lot of other diseases, so it's hard to, without the blood test and stuff, you can't figure out what you've got.
No, you can't. They don't even come up with a target anymore. Okay, minute and a half. Down to a minute and a half.
Okay, Roz, what do you want to talk about? Hey, I appreciate people putting up with me, and I thank you for the show, and we'll do another one.
Oh yeah,
but, you know,
definitely.
And I hope I didn't talk about things that people weren't interested in, but I really felt like I wanted people to know that God has been working in the background a long time, and unless you knew it, you didn't know it.
Well, I just wanted to say too quickly that I've been in contact with Klaus often. I haven't lost touch with him, but he is doing some things, and when he comes back, he said that he would like to do a show with us. So that would be
great. That sounds great.
Getting us together, and he would talk about some of his findings. So,
hey, I'd like to do a show if you can get one set up sometime with that maniac LA. if he'd like to. His latest DVD is incredible. Really good.
I'll give him a call and see what his schedule is like. I know he's going around to different conferences right now, so I'll have to give him a call and see what he's been doing.
Okay,
but
well,
I really appreciate. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I really appreciate you coming on the show, and it's been a long time since I've been been able to talk to anyone, but
you've done an incredible job, and the Lord uses you, and like I told you way back, you've got the gift for this kind of ministry. You've got a radio voice. You've got that gift. So utilize it, And
you tell her. I've been telling her. She won't listen to me.
No, I just had to. Sometimes you just got to step away for a while and kind of reflect you have to. And it's like you either stay out there or and before you know it, you're staying out there because you want to stay out there, and you lose touch with what you're doing out there. You know what I mean?
I have been there before, my dear.
I know
what you're talking about, and you're right.
Yeah.
But it's been good. I mean, I appreciate you guys. God bless you guys. And this is, it's been enjoyable, and I thank you so much, and I appreciate you suffering my talking.
Oh,
we love
you, enjoy you, Larry.
Well, I do.
Good. We'll do it again. Just set up a time sometime. We'll do it again.
Oh, most definitely, Larry. Thank you very much.
God bless, and goodbye now.
God bless,
Larry. God bless.
All right, that was Larry Taylor. You can go on to, I always Google Larry Taylor blogs, and it just pops right up for me. Also, you can go over to, just to keep up on the, what books, Larry would recommend to read. He's not going to, recommend something that, that's just going to waste your time, that's for sure. I've bought a couple of books that he's recommended and watched a lot of movies, and definitely they bring a lot of material to the shelf and for you to leave up there. I also wanted to say, if you want to just keep up with the Sunday Bun and just everyday news, head over to LaMarzulli.com or LaMarzulli blog. You can head over there. You can go over to Stan Deo's website, to get the news also. I will, like I said, I will be coming back on as soon as I get Klaus Dona back on Skype. When he comes back, I will set up a date to bring him on the show. I know he wants to come back on. So we'll be bringing him back home with Larry, and I'm going to give LA a call and see what his schedule is. So there's a lot of stuff coming up, plus there's a lot of new people that I want to bring on. So just stay tuned for future Preparing for Battle shows. Once again, I just want to thank you all for coming and listening to this show. And like I said before, it's not the fear. We're not trying to put fear in anybody. We're just trying to give you information. I know a lot of people think, well, you're trying to scare us, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. Then you shouldn't even read the Bible, okay? Because, we're just telling you.
It's all in there, that's why.
Yeah, it, exactly. It's all in there. And, the Lord's not going to hold any punches, so why should anybody else? And if death comes to us because we're putting the news out there or we're putting out information, then, what are you going to do? So listen, watch for future shows. Dorothy will be posting stuff up everywhere. And, I'll post where I can. Like I said, I apologize for you know, being gone for a long time. But, you know, sometimes you just got to get away and kind of reflect and just kind of make sure your mind and your heart is where it should be, because it's 100%, like Larry said, 100%, you know, Jesus Christ and 0% me. So I just wanted to add that in there before we go. Is there anything you wanted to say, Dorothy, before we go?
Well, people can join my Facebook page also. I post a whole bunch of news there. I keep the shows posted there. I love listening to Larry. I imagine everybody else does too, poor grammar. I feel like I'm just sitting by the fireplace listening to an uncle or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you get pretty comfortable with him. I do that too when, you know, if I just call him on the phone and I talk to him, I can just sit and listen to Larry for a long time. what was I going to say? So much for live radio. There's like so many things that I want to say.
Now, so.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm just, my brain's just like scattered all over the place.
Yeah, it's my fault it's so late. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to
it's,
and we have another sunspot, so that's making us sleepy too.
Yeah, no, it's not just that. It's something I wanted to say, and now I can't remember.
I'm sorry. Did I derail your train?
My train.
Choo-choo!
Oh, yeah. Dorothy was saying to go over to her Yahoo group, and you can get news from there. Also, Sue Bradley's blog.
Sue Bradley has a great...
Yeah, head over to Sue Bradley's blog. She's got a lot of information up there. I mean, read it. I mean, really read it. And
that girl has great insight.
I
love the way she thinks.
Yeah, listen to what she has to say. Because
and I think Deborah Sontag should do at least another show. I wish she did a blog.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of her as well. I missed a call from her. I called her and then she called me back and I missed a call from her. Pastor Mike Hoggard too. A lot of information. I sit there and I listen to his DVDs. Very excellent teaching. I mean, I write everything down, and it takes me about 2 hours to watch it. If you have the time and you really want to learn, it's go and, you know, he sends out his CDs for free. You know, if you want to give him a small donation for it or a donation for it, that would be great. Because
he's on YouTube now too.
Yeah, and he just puts a lot of time into his stuff. But you know, all these folks put out something, and they're always giving us something, and they never ask for anything. So, you know, even if it's just a prayer or a line you wanted to drop to them saying, you know, hey, you know what, I appreciate what you do, because that really helps, and that supports them when they're out doing this stuff, because this stuff takes for hours. I know I did it. And it would be nice to give them a little, you know, thank you, just a little thank you note, you know, or just even a prayer. You don't even have to tell me you prayed for them. Just pray. Because they do a lot of work, and they don't have to, but they do. Just to let us know, and because they're obeying our Heavenly Father. So at any rate, all right. Well, unless you have something to say, I'm going to close the show.
Keep looking up. Time is short.
Yeah, it's 11:50.
If you're like the white rabbit, it's late. It's late.
Dorothy cracked up. All right. Until next time, folks. Father bless. Pray. Seek the Lord. Read the Word. Look these words up so you know what they mean. And just keep looking up till. He's gonna miss away, even though I'm stuffing in the midst of all this stuff. you know, there's still going to be a light. So this isn't to bring you fear. This is just to let you know. Anyway, I will see you all next time. God bless.
Father bless everybody. Good night.